Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service, the only opportunity offered to the broader community to be informed on the issues and current affairs from a First Nations perspective. This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. My name is Bo Spearham, but before I start, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners on whose land we are broadcasting from. I'd like to pay my respects to the Yuggera and the Turrbal people. I also would like to pay my respects to our elders and our elders of more recent arrival. And thank you, for joining us here on Let's Talk. Always a good show when you have always a hard start, when you have Clayne and Jamie before you, but it's every morning. But yes, I have a good guest, a deadly guest. If you would remember last year, I had this Bundjalung brother on by the name of Oliver Costello. He works for an organization down on country called Fire Sticks. But what I'll do is I'll bring him in and I'll let him talk a bit about what Fire Sticks is. And they have some good workshops coming up this year as well that'll be good for our listeners to hear. Hey, Brother Oliver, are you there? Is he there at the moment? He should be. I'll just try and have a bit of technical difficulty. But what we'll do is we'll go to a quick song break and I will have Oliver Costello, Bundjalung man, and also he also works for Fire Sticks with us in a jiffy. So just stay tuned here on Let's Talk on 98.9 FM.
Down over my hometown, the night became so still. Going north on a weekend run, a young man I knew well. No more whispering in our minds, no more whispering in our hearts. Gonna rise up to break these chains and stop these killing games. One less loved one at Christmas, one less loved one on birthdays. But that smile won't be forgotten. Cain, you'll never fade away. And all the joy that you gave us, the twisted jokes and all, we're gonna rise up for you now, and for the rest who have gone. But no more whispering in our minds, no more whispering in our hearts. We're gonna rise up to make a change, to stop these killing games. So the night was blessed with evil, and the soft rain began to fall. Walking through the park at midnight, coastal town on early morn. The shots ring out in the darkness, blood on the ground where he lay. Bitter tears will fall tomorrow for the rest of our days. But no more whispering in our minds, no more whispering in our hearts. We're gonna rise up to make a change and stop these killing games. So there's two sides to the story. mother's life. So the families are destroyed now by the hand that held that gun. It's what the white man he swears by, to keep the black man on the run. But no more whispering in our minds, no more whispering in our arms. We're gonna rise up, break these chains, stop these killing games. We'll miss him for the game today, when they run for the black and white, the colors of Cadougal. Hear those mighty magpies. So let's all join the line of honor, raise our glass to Cain, a son of a father, a child of a mother and a friend, two sisters and a brother.
Country music, breaking news and sports. At 989 FM Country on YouTube, Twitter and Facebook. 24 hours a day. The stuff that makes you smile. 989 FM.
This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
And you're back on Let's Talk here on 989 FM. I will. We just connected back with our deadly brother Oliver, so I'll bring him in right now. Oliver, just before we start, brother, could I get you to tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from?
Yeah, hi. It's Oliver Costello. I'm a Bundjalung man, and yeah, just like to acknowledge country here on Bundjalung country and all, wherever everyone can hear me.
Deadly, thanks, brother. I said earlier, you know, our listeners might remember, you know, me having a yarn with yourself. Around this time last year, you know, after a conference that he's had, I believe, in the New England area.
Up in Armidale, yeah.
Up in Armidale, there, yes, yeah. Yeah, a few of the mob down that way put you onto me and thought you'd be a good yarn. And, you know, just for our listeners, could you, you know, like, just let them know what Fire Sticks is and, you know, sort of like how that came about?
Yeah, sure. So Fire Sticks is an Indigenous-led, I guess, process. Just recently we actually incorporated legally, but we've been operating, I guess, as a kind of community of practice for almost 10 years, working, you know, principally kind of working with elders and knowledge holders through New South Wales and sort of Cape York to really build, I guess, those kind of cultural learning pathways back into recognition around cultural fire management. So, you know, now, we're, you know, through this network, we've been working with communities, I guess, all over the country and really just trying to build a really strong, like, identity and practice around, you know, a lot of people have those, you know, have that acceptance or stories that, you know, their old people used to burn country, but just to be able to, I guess, reimagine and revive that practice back into lots of landscapes has been a real challenge, but it's all happening and it's really exciting kind of time, I think. You know, lots of energy has come into this space over since I've been involved, and it's really starting to pay off now.
Yeah, deadly. And you said, yeah, you know, like this has like been a 10-year process, you know, in terms of, you know, Fire Sticks, you know, being up on the ground. But I remember when we first had a yarn, this was sort of, you know, like a project that you were, you know, doing within an assignment for university. I vaguely remember you mentioned.
Yeah, that's kind of, I guess, you know, there were lots of, you know, like growing up on Bundjalung country, learning bits and pieces, like, you know, got family in the territory as well and living in the Blue Mountains. I had all these kind of interests. But yeah, when I went to uni, I had to start doing projects and stuff, and a lot of them started revolving around fire. And then I had the privilege, I guess, of working on a uni project for a while, and started working with Victor Stephenson and Jacqueline Goff and Jason DeSantolo and a few others that are, you know, and then I started also this Centre for Sustainable Leadership Fellowship program. So it just all sort of started coming together, and that's sort of where the first 5-6 project was born. You know, like Victor's been working, you know, in the Cape and across Australia for a long time, and so just being able to kind of link up with him and start to think about, you know, all these sort of parts of landscapes where, you know, mob, you know, have access to country, or, you know, were trying to rebuild their land management and cultural programs and stuff. And so just seeing the significant role fire can play in that, because it's not just, you know, looking after lands, not just sort of about planting trees and, you know, doing weed spray and all that sort of stuff. It's about integrated land management and being able to, like, build on that cultural practice that old people have taught us, and then use that new technology is I think, the only way we're actually going to be able to, one, empower communities to be able to manage their land, but also be able to deal with the contemporary challenges that, you know, the environment's facing.
Mm. And I guess, like, how do you introduce something like this to the, you know, to the local community, to your community members and your family, extended family, in terms of, you know, like, this is something that you want to put into practice, put back into practice, you know, for so long?
Yeah. So principally we sort of work by invitation, you know, but, you know, I guess, you know, there's lots of opportunities to meet people and share information, and, you know, and so just, I guess, in our own community, it's just really about having that yarn about, you know, what's important to us, what are the, you know, values of country, and what role maybe does fire have in managing or protecting them. And that sort of conversation, you know, you can have anywhere. And it's not just about looking at going back to traditional fire. It's about using the cultural kind of concepts around cultural fire practice and applying them today, you know. The old people burnt for thousands of years and they adapted their practice. And so, you know, now we've got, you know, parts of Bundjalung country, you know, where I'm sitting today, you know, you've got houses and streets and farms and, you know, all sorts of assets in the landscape. But you've also got all these natural values that have fire relationships, you know, plants that need fire, animals that need fire. And so you need to understand all those, you know, assets and values and stuff, and then think about, you know, how to apply the right fire. And that's been really the key kind of process around FireSticks, is just sort of developing this cultural learning pathway and then going, here's our values, here's what we know, and then these are the questions we have. And that's when you draw from, you know, other elders, other knowledge holders in your own community, you know, so the individuals learning those processes, communities learning those processes, projects. And so being able to reach out to elders in Cape York or Arnhem Land or Tasmania or Victoria and say, you know, how do you understand this value or this fire or this country, and what can we learn from each other to make sure we're doing the right thing for the land.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, in you know what you're saying just then, in terms of, you know, discussing with these other mobs around the country, there's a forum, you know, that you briefly mentioned, you know, which is bringing different mobs from around the country to talk about fire management. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so I guess the next few months are really ramping up. We've got the ACT Parks and NRM group down there are holding a forum in Canberra. I think it's the 10th to 12th of May. So they've got to sort of bring together sort of, you know, traditional owner groups and, you know, fire practitioners and agencies together to have a forum and a field day. So that's in May. Every year we have a big workshop, National Indigenous Fire Workshop. They started in Cape York and they've been growing every year for the last sort of 8 years or something. And so the one this year is the 10th one, and for the first time it's going to be outside of Cape York. It's going to be hosted in Nowra by local Yuin mob there, who've been doing a whole heap of fire sticks work over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And the Bundanoon Trust, sort of the artist residency there, they've put their hand up to host the event. So it's going to be a really exciting, you know, it's a transformation sort of process to be able to kind of build on that knowledge and that story of those Cape York elders that are kind of really, for me, been really important in kind of building this new story into other parts of the landscape, and then honour them by bringing, I guess, the fire to the south coast and really support that knowledge exchange, and I guess hopefully demonstrate to a lot of people. Like, we get a lot of support from agencies and people across the country, but I guess there's a bit of scepticism about, you know, that knowledge exchange between different parts of the country, and we're really hoping that we'll be able to demonstrate that, you know, by applying, you know, by being invited into country and working with the knowledge holders and the local values and the landscape, you know, you can rebuild that cultural fire story, and you can start applying cultural fire management in, you know, all the landscapes that have a fire relationship across Australia, and really build recognition and the community kind of initiatives around that. So this national workshop is all communities, you know, organised and funded. You know, we're volunteering, we're, you know, trying to raise money. You know, it's not a fully funded or, you know, core funded initiative. It's really about just saying that, you know, these things need to happen, and, you know, this is this Indigenous leadership sort of process we're trying to support, is that, like, we've got priorities, we've got work that needs to be done, let's just all get together and make it happen, because we can't wait for other people to do it for us. And so that workshop is going to be really amazing. It's going to have the sort of usual program that we normally have at the workshops, where we run through a few different series of kind of, you know, breaking the groups and running people through, you know, burning country, reading country, you know, sort of biocultural monitoring and different, you know, yarns and cultural activities. So it'll go for a couple of days, and that's really focused at the sort of practitioners, you know, like TOs that want to burn and their enabling partners, you know, so NRM groups, government, fire agencies, you know, different mobs like that that can help communities on the ground and really support those processes. And then on the third day, we're going to have, and there'll be sort of, there's an expression of interest process, and we're going to have to limit the numbers for those workshops because, just being able to manage the logistics. But on the third day, we're going to have an open day, and that's really a great opportunity for the local community to kind of showcase some of their cultural practice. There'll be a whole heap of other, obviously, the people that come to the workshops and other partners and supporters that are going to come along, and just, I guess, be able to do some of the stuff that the workshop stuff that's been happening over the previous 2 days, but also I guess ramp up some of the more cultural practice which is dependent on fire, you know, things like weaving, fire making, you know, song, dance, you know, expert panels, discussions, yarning circles, that sort of stuff. So just try and really, I guess, showcase this space and really support that kind of community of practice approach.
And also, like, a lot of the work you do, you know, it's just not centralized around, you know, mob as well. Like, you do work in with the local fireys and the SES workers as well, in terms of, like, land management as well. Is it sort of like a, you know, sharing both knowledges as well?
Absolutely. You know, it is sort of really cultural capabilities, you know. And, you know, like, a lot of, you know, national parks, rural fire service, you know, CFA, DELB, all those different groups, across the, you know, particularly the eastern seaboard where I mainly work, they're really keen and interested in this space, and some of them have developed some really great projects and approaches, policies and things like that to really support us. But it's a two-way street, you know, like, we understand, you know, that the fire risk and insurance and public liability and all those kind of issues that in a contemporary world and what that means. So, you know, being all the training and, you know, the risk management and planning, all that stuff's really critical and essential, and we acknowledge that. But it's also really critical to support, you know, Indigenous leadership and authority and cultural values. So being able to kind of embed those cultural capabilities in our own mobs, our own people, to make sure that they're really strong about their identity and practice, but also, I guess, giving that sense of appreciation and a pathway for participation, I guess, for agencies and their staff to be able to work with us and be able to support, you know, those processes, so they understand, you know, what those cultural obligations are and how they can work with, you know, knowledge holders and traditional owners and whatnot, to make sure that we're getting good landscape management, then we're protecting, you know, life and property and the environment and cultural values. So, because, you know, there are compromises in a sense around how we deliver resources, but they're all equally as important to us, and that's what we've got to work through. How do we identify and plan and prioritise and make sure that we can support each other to do the right thing for country?
And, you know, it also, you know, shows, you know, I guess, these, you know, like, these agencies, you know, that, you know, that the methods that we use aren't primitive as well, you know, and sort of, you know, like, knocks that stereotypical view that, you know, our way of life, you know, pre-colonisation, you know, is valued, you know, and does have a place today.
Absolutely. And it's really challenging those kind of, you know, misconceptions as well. You know, like the common view, it's sort of like, oh, traditional fire management, you know, that's not relevant anymore because, you know, the landscape's changed and, you know, you've got all these assets in these houses. And it's like, yeah, you know, no one's suggesting that we're going to burn every inch of the country the way we did in the past. But what we are suggesting is that we use those cultural principles and that technology to burn the bits of country that we need to burn for the right ways to make sure that it's healthy and safe. And so, and that's just trying to broaden that understanding, I guess, around, you know, the technology our old people developed, which is, you know, cutting edge. You know, it's really, really fine-tuned and specialist skill sets that are really adapted to local landscapes. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of that knowledge was disrespected and disregarded, you know, and some of it was picked up. And that's why, you know, farmers and fire agencies have a lot of fire practice today, is because our old people taught them that stuff, you know, but they've taken it in their own direction with their own objectives. And really what we're trying to do is come back to a more shared objectives and shared space around, we understand, you know, all the different reasons why we need to use fire in the landscape and what the outcomes of that different fire is, and how can we kind of move some of that towards more enabling cultural practice to kind of help protect and promote some of those values which are important to us, and really acknowledge that older, you know, that wisdom, which is still relevant in the landscape today. You know, the plants, the animals, they're still here. They're still singing the same songs. They're still practicing the same functions that they have for millennia. And fire relationships is a big part of that. And, you know, it's great to see, you know, agency staff and stuff come along. You know, I work for National Parks in New South Wales. I've had the privilege to work on a lot of cultural fire projects on park. And just to be able to see, you know, colleagues and, you know, other staff and, you know, RFS and that come along and learn things and sort of get a glimpse, I guess, around what we're trying to do. Is it's not just about burning things, it's about empowering people and connecting people and showing that our old people had all these knowledge systems that were so integral for healthy country, and we need to bring them back because, you know, for a lot of best efforts, you know, fire management, you know, I don't think if you ask anyone in agencies or fire scientists is bedded down. There's still a lot of work to do, a lot of science, a lot of operational work, you know? And so this cultural sort of knowledge and practice that we bring into it is helping to build on that story and shape that story. And we're obviously listening to the scientists, listening to the agencies. We want to bring in all their practice as well. So we've got just one type of fire management across the landscape, which is about the culture of that land. So you're applying the right fire for the right country and for the right purpose. And so it's so important, that partnership and that leadership, I guess, from the community and from those agencies to make sure that we're co-developing and co-leading and empowering each other.
If you're just tuning in to Let's Talk now, my guest is Oliver Costello, Bundjalung man, and also works with Fire Sticks, a very, very deadly, you know, organisation down there in Bundjalung country, you know, that talks about the management of land for the use of fire and the rejuvenation of country and animals. We're just going to head to a quick song break and we'll be back. But after that there, brother, you know, you did say, you know, the next few months for Fire Sticks and for, I guess, you know, mob that are involved in, you know, backburning and I guess land rejuvenation through fire. It's a big year because you did mention the forum in May down in the ACT. But then also you mentioned like off air, we spoke a bit about the 2018 National Indigenous Fireship Workshops. We'll have a bit of a yarn about that. That's in July, and we'll have a yarn after the break. The song that I want to go to is a really, really deadly song by Yothu Yindi. I've been playing it, I've been having it on repeat, you know, over the weekend and most of last week. This song is My Kind of Life by Yothu Yindi. My guest is Oliver Costello. Stay tuned to Let's Talk because we'll be back right after this song.
This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
And you're back on the program, and my guest is and my guest is Oliver Costello, a proud Bundjalung man. We're yarning about the organisation that he's a part of, Fire Sticks, having a really, really good yarn about the importance of land management, you know, through the use of fire and the the aspects that it brings to the land and the animals also. So just before the break, I wanted to ask Oliver about some of the projects that they've coming up, but also that they've been involved in. Not long ago, they were involved in doing the black bean tree pathways workshop project. Could you tell us a bit about that, Oliver?
Sure, Bo. Yeah, it's sort of not purely sort of firework, but I guess there's a really important sort of fire story that links into it. So we did a little project, had a little workshop last year looking at the black bean tree, which is also called Moreton Bay chestnut and a few different names, but in Bundjalung we call him Boogum. And so the seeds of the black bean are quite big. They're sort of like the size of a golf ball, and they come in a pod. They look a little bit like peas. Big pea, bean shoot sort of thing. Pod. And so they're like actually quite toxic if you eat them and, without preparing them. And so, a bit like a few other different bush foods, cheeky yams and cycads and things like that. There's a whole preparation process you can go through to actually make them good to eat. And sort of they're like a bit of a winter crop. And because they're, a tree can produce a lot and you can have whole groves of trees, you can literally have tons of food. And they also disperse naturally along water courses. So you can have tons of food basically on the water. And so you can have big mobs gathering and, community sort of events and things like that, ceremonial sort of stuff. And it's sort of a practice which our old people were, obviously dependent on. But in modern times, I guess, we sort of lost a lot of that practice and skill. So the project was really about bringing together local Bundjalung, and we had some mob from Cape York and the Bunya Mountains and stuff, and I'll go into that yarn a bit later, who also have those similar stories. And so getting them together and just basically getting everyone together and going through that process around preparing the black beans for eating and then eating them and cooking them and all that sort of stuff. So it was a great little workshop we had, and it came off the back of some research that the Royal Botanical Gardens in New South Wales and Macquarie University have been doing with us around looking at the genetics and I guess the dispersal of black beans, because from the genetic story, it looks like the populations of black beans in northern sort of New South Wales and southeast Queensland are really, they don't have a lot of diversity, which sort of generally what that means in sort of genetic terms is that they've only come from a small source population, and the high biodiversity, high genetics are in Cape York. So it looks like, people or, somehow the beans have come down from Cape York, probably 2 or 3, maybe 4,000, we're not sure on the dates, but, a few thousand years ago have come down, and they've been distributed through those landscapes. And so the fire story to that is that they're just, where they've been kind of the source seeds appear to have been planted along the headwaters, along the sort of range and the ridges of the catchment, which is sort of where those cultural sort of pathways where people would have been burning. So it looks like people have moved through those landscapes burning and distributing some seeds. So there's some seeds that are, I guess, the source, and they're water dispersing. So basically the pods fall in the water and they travel down the water course, and along the way you get these trees popping up. So there's that story, but there's also a Bundjalung story, which I'm not going to go into detail about, but it talks about, the Durrigan, to sort of like the Lady of the Water, Old Dreamtime story, being a protector of these beans. And it talks about not eating them and stuff like that. So I guess there's a story about how to eat them, and there's a story that's about not eating them. And that story, to me, is sort of the layers of that story, really talking about those source places are like durable or increased places or the sources of those places. And there's a cultural law around, lots of our resources have cultural laws around their use, around seasons and when to take them, how much you can take. And so I think that's telling us not to take them from the source and to only take them from places down, down in the river where they grow. so that you always have the seeds and you always have the trees coming coming through. And there's also another story about that pathway, which links to the Nothing Gully storyline, which looks at this. There seems to be a strong correlation between that pathway, Nothing Gully songline, and the distribution of the black beans.
Mm.
So, you know, there's always different cultural sort of layers to it, and, you know, and it was a really exciting project. And the great news is that we were successful in an Australian Research Council discovery grant to continue that work and expand it to also looking at bunya nuts and black walnut. So we've got, you know, it's only, we'll kick off in the next month or so, hopefully. We'll start a project planning to be able to really build on that story around this whole black bean process, but then how that links to the bunya sort of the same story. We've got populations in Cape York and populations in northern New South Wales, southeast Queensland, and that have this really interesting kind of genetic story and cultural story linked to them. So, yeah, going forward, you know, watch the space. Check out flysticks.org.au and the Northern Rivers Connecting Country Alliance, the Jagwin Alliance spaces to see what's going on. So hopefully in the future we'll have more work in that to be able to promote and share.
Definitely. Yeah, and it's like I guess, yeah, for like a lot of our mob, or it's not surprising, you know, like how interconnected, you know, like all those stories are, you know, that you were just talking about. Not just, you know, to the stuff that, you know, Fisk's doing, but, you know, to the, you know, linking in with other mobs, you know, like you're saying with the, you know, the importance of the bunya nuts, but then also the black beans, how, you know, like they're connected to mob up North Queensland as well. You know, like, it's amazing to hear, you know, our stories and how interconnected and how woven, you know, we are, you know, and like how, you know, it wasn't a coincidence that, you know, you stumbled over upon these things that, you know, like it's something that's always been there.
Mm. Yeah, it's freaky. Like, it's freaky for lots of reasons, because one, I guess, is, you know, like this project is sort of, even though it's black beans are not a fire sort of type of, you know, they're a rainforest plant and, you know, fires are not generally that helpful for them as far as their growth and regeneration and stuff. But, you know, the linkages, like to the Bunya Mounds, where we've been doing a lot of work, and we've got that, there's that whole Bunya ceremony, fire sort of pathway story, which was really amazing story. They got black beans, they got fire, they got all these relationships that we have at home. But also Cape York, you know, we've been working with the Kuga Taipan elders and Moolong and Cape York NRM, all these groups for years, like Jerry Turpin's, you know, ethnobotanist, he's involved in, you know, the fire projects, the black bean project. So, you know, all these linkages, and, you know, and the irony that, you know, like the science is basically saying, like, how do these beans get here? And it's like, for us, mob, it's so obvious. It's like, well, we put them there, you know, like that's our cultural processes, you know, like it's our responsibility to manage country, you know, that means that we, you know, use the lore and kinship stories, you know, so we, you know, use fire to promote and, you know, prevent, I guess, plants moving and animals moving through the landscapes, you know, there's a whole other different cultural practice around, you know, plant use and animal use and stuff. And so, you know, they're a big part of why the landscapes look the way they did when settlers got here. And unfortunately, they didn't listen to us and didn't follow the laws of country. So now the landscapes are all sick and our people are really sick as well.
Mm.
I think mainly because of that disconnection, because we've lost a lot of that story and that connection. Even though lots of us are culturally strong, we've got some information, we don't have those intact knowledge systems like we did across landscapes and across our communities. And so that's what we're really trying to do, is rebuild them. So you've got strong people in strong communities that are connected to other strong people in other strong communities, so we can practice that, you know, those really important, you know, like this bunya ceremony work, the black beans, like they're all about bringing people together. You need an abundance of resources and knowledge to be able to bring people together. And so in modern terms, you know, that's money and projects to be able to bring people together. So, you know, we can also do it ourselves. Like I mentioned before, the National Indigenous Fire Workshop at NARA, you know, we just said, oh, we're going to bring together, you know, so it wasn't funded. It was like, we'll, you know, in old terms, we'll bring this, you bring that, we'll bring it together and we'll make it happen. So, you know, but there's plenty of more things that people can bring. So, you know, the offer's always out there. If anyone that, like, is connecting with these stories and sees the importance of this work, get in touch and let us know what you can bring, whether it's knowledge, whether it's money, whether it's black beans or bunions or whatever, just let us know what you can bring to that story, and we can hopefully like tune in together and make sure that we can make these opportunities as good as they can be.
Definitely. Like, and if people do want to, you know, get involved, what's the best, you know, platform for contacting yourself or Firesticks?
The best way to get in contact, the best way to check out more, I guess, around it, and with, you know, we're quite under-resourced as far as, you know, we've got a beautiful website, but there's plenty of information and stories that aren't up there, so we're working on that. But the website's firesticks.org.au. So if you go to firesticks.org.au, you can go to contact us and get in touch, or you can also email us at workshop@firesticks.org.au.
Is there a Facebook page?
Yep. The National Indigenous Fire Network, or I think the tag is Indigenous Fire or something.
Yeah, deadly. Yeah. And you didn't.
Well, yeah, soon we'll have the Fire Sticks Alliance kind of either as that Facebook or a new one, because we only just formed the alliance. So, but the website's good for that, and there'll be more information soon around the alliance.
And like the National Indigenous Fire workshops that they're in July. Is that the one you just mentioned just then?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, deadly.
Yeah. So people, you know, like, we're really reaching out. We put a prospectus out for sponsorship and, you know, volunteers and stuff. There's an expression of interest for people that want to come along. But if anyone's, you know, thinks that they can really contribute, you know, in a resource, financial or knowledge way, get in touch, you know. Be really great to have your support.
Definitely. It would be, you know, because this is, you know, an initiative, you know, we're one of the oldest, you know, initiatives, I guess you could say, you know, in the world, you know, in terms of, you know, caring for country. But then also, you know, it also adds that element of safety, you know, for country as well, you know, from bushfires, but then also like overgrowth and, you know, as you were mentioning, you know, keeping plants and animals in certain particular areas and stuff. But, you know, like these are not just the only projects and workshops that you do or have done. You know, like there's an array of things that you are involved in. You sound like a very, very busy man there, brother.
Too many things, so can use more help, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
But, yeah, there are, I guess, it probably is, like, I don't have a lot of detail to push out on the air, but if people want to get in touch, we've got fire workshops over the next 6 months planned in the Northern Rivers in New South Wales and Northern Tablelands. There's a big cultural sort of fire gathering, mainly with TA mobs and land councils and native title groups and stuff like that, knowledge holders, but other people are welcome to come along to parts of that as well. We've got a fire project at Jabulum, sort of, which is in that Northern Tablelands, Northern Rivers area. We've got some fire workshops, obviously the big one at Nowra, but also further south on the far south coast. Local land services down there have got a fire workshop coming up. There's also one in the Hunter coming up. So some of them, I guess, are local and some of them are regional and some of them, I guess, are open, some of them are a bit more targeted. But if you're in those areas and you want to get in touch, also, I should say, there's work in Victoria. So it's just down there the other week. There's a whole heap of projects down in Victoria, down in the Gippsland, in the Bays, out, you know, in the Jarjarwarong country in the west there. And probably plenty of other places I'm forgetting. In the Bunya Mountains and that sort of southeast Queensland, there's a few projects. I was just having a yarn to Quandamooka the other day. They've got some stuff coming up as well. So there's a lot of activity, you know, all through Cape York. So, you know, basically wherever you are, if you're interested in this, get in touch, and we should be able to connect you to some local mobs that are doing stuff and see how you can collaborate.
Yeah, definitely. Because, yeah, I know I've been seeing online and stuff the Rangers over there on on Quandamooka over in Australia there, like the Rangers program that they have.
Yeah.
With all black fellas out there. So like a bit like that, like that's actually a good story. I should, you know, get onto those.
Oh, they got a strong program. Yeah. I was just yarning with Uncle Darren the other day. We went to Canberra together and I was just, so, you know, just hearing that, you know, and I shouldn't speak for him, but just hearing that story about, you know, going from a, you know, this kind of place and trying to get native title, trying to get people on the stand, no ranger programs. So now they've got this great program, they've got all these great activities, and it's just, you know, it's just a story that I'd love to hear coming from so many places, you know, and they've still got a long way to go, they'll say that, but it's just that they're on that journey and they've been able to, I guess, get some really important cornerstones in place. And that's really, I guess, you know, what this Firesticks, the alliance and, the work we've been doing is really about, is just trying to, like, lodge those cornerstones with different communities and see the pathways between us and each other and how we can connect with each other and how we can support each other, because we need to rebuild those cultural pathways and those landscape stories, and our identities to be able to be really strong. It's good to know who you are, but if other people don't know who you are, they don't know where to find you, they don't know how to support you. And so that dialogue with each other, that community mentorship process, which is what our elders have taught us since time immemorial, is essential. And it doesn't just happen in your own community, it happens across landscapes, and it's a critical process. So the more we can sort of hear those good stories about, Kwanamuka and all those other mobs that are doing great work, the more empowering I think it'll be for the other groups, wherever they are along that pathway, before or behind, to be able to sort of step up and share their story.
And definitely, that's how, that's exactly the way, we managed this country for so long, those song lines and those storylines that you spoke about with them bunya nuts and them black bean seeds as well. We manage this land together, and like the way we're going to run it, isn't, individually, but, together, for us to, for all of our nations, to run our country again, I have a lot of faith in that we can do, and that, like we are doing it, individually as well, but, to make a more of an impact, on a national scale.
It's a hard thing for some and, organisations and government to deal with that, because it's that collaborative sort of leadership space. It's that handing over authority or handing over power, and people can find it very hard to sort of let go of that power. But, from what I've learned from my culture and, other people's culture all over the world, is that, that cultural connection to the land teaches you about law and protocols and stuff. And one of the things that it teaches you principally is that you've got to give power. You've got to give more than take. You know what I mean? And so that key concept culturally is so important to get people to understand. It's about, because when you do that, you get more power. Like, that's the basis of community, is that, on your own, all you have is what you have. And when you share that with someone else and you trust and you partner, you work together, then you've got twice as much. And when you've got a big network, and that's what Firesticks has been able to develop, is this network of people that has a lot more power than any one, and together we can achieve a lot. And so, it's hard for people to hand over that power at times, but the only way to manage country, and that's what old people teach, is you got to talk to each other, because people have different totems, different roles, different kinship, People have been given authority, but it's not absolute. It comes with responsibility, and that means you've got to give more than you take. You've got to give the knowledge, you've got to share it, you've got to support, you've got to understand the land, you've got to understand what everyone's values and relationships are. And then you can do good land management, And that stuff applies, that's how the government should be running. It's how, all our projects and organisations should be running for the same principles, because that's the principle that, creates healthy relationships between people and country,
But just in wrapping up in our show in the last 4 minutes, did you think, Firesticks would have, an impact, but then also, make this reconnection with other mobs from around the country? Like, when, when you were, doing a university assignment project, when you sort of, wanted to do it on backburning and fire, did you think that it'll sort of evolve into something, what it is today, what you're talking about today?
Yeah, well, I guess I didn't know where it would go. I didn't have expectations, but I guess I did bring this kind of sense of, vision and responsibility. And to me, when I think it through, I just think it all makes sense, and I just wonder, why we're not all doing it, And I guess I go back and go, it's because we need to, work it out as well. We need to work that stuff out. And, it's been a massive learning curve for me. Before I went to uni, I could, literally hardly sort of read and write, and had a lot of learning difficulties and all that sort of stuff. And, to sort of go forward sort of, now it's amazing the exponential personal growth that I've been able to harness through this story. And I've seen it with so many other people as well, this kind of ability to sort of tap into, a deeper sense of responsibility and understanding around what you need to do and taking on that learning experience and being more open and aware and present. So, it is when I reflect, I think, wow, it's amazing how much has happened. But when I think about that process, I think, of course, that's how, you know, it's sort of like that, you know, sense of awareness that comes with being somewhere and going, oh, yep, supposed to be here. This is important work, you know, and I keep having that kind of sense a lot and seeing, you know, hearing the great feedback and seeing so many other people on that same journey, you know, and we've got to bring everyone along together, you know. Definitely. It's that old, you know, we can talk in the negative space about our communities and culture, you know, the crab in the bucket or whatever, the tall poppy syndrome or whatever. But to me, it's about bringing everyone along, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we've been striving to do, is bring everyone along to this journey, you know, like leave no one behind. It, you know, it might take a long time for some to sort of take to it, but hopefully you'll understand, you know, you don't have to become a part of it, but hopefully you'll respect and understand what we're trying to do. And I mean, you know, seeing, you know, the growth in the last few years, I think, you know, I hazard to think on, you know, what will happen in the next 5 or 10, I think will hopefully be an amazing transformation around, you know, how people view fire in the landscape and how we manage country to protect life and property, to promote, you know, cultural, natural values, mm-hmm. and really understand that important relationship between people and country and fire.
Yeah, deadly. My guest on the program this morning, Oliver Costello, a proud Bundjalung man, works with a deadly initiative and organization called Firesticks. I do urge people to support in any way that they can. And that website is firesticks.org.au. And if you can check that out, we'll also have the repeat up at 7 o'clock tonight here on 98.9 FM. But then also check the podcast at 98.9fm.com.au. That'll be up a little bit later on in today. And then also on our Facebook page, we'll link in some of the deadly stuff that these mob are doing back down there. But thank you, brother, for joining us on the program this morning.
Thanks, bro. Thanks for having me.
And hopefully, you know, we can stay in contact and, you know, just to keep us update with, you know, a lot of these projects and forums that you mob are having.
Yeah, love to. Yeah, the next few months are going to be busy ramping up, so it'll be, you know, great to get the word out and get the support there.
Definitely, brother. Any way that we can help and support, you know, we'll be there. But yes, stay tuned to 98.9 FM here on, stay tuned to 98.9 FM for the best country.